welcome you again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And today, my brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for coming and studying with us today and joining in and honoring the Lord and studying the Bible and studying God's Word and what it says to find out what truth is. Truth is getting harder and harder to find in the world today, and what truth is. People are believing lies and deceit all over the place, and they're being deceived and deceiving one another. And the only way that you're going to find out what truth is and what truth is in this life is from the Word of God. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, that's what God says, and God's word is going to prevail in the end. People can do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say and believe all the lies they want to believe and do everything that they want to do, but in the end, they're going to fall through a trap door into eternity, and they're going to, the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. And they're going to look God in the face, and they're going to see the one that made them. And that's going to scare the dickens out of them. Moses, one of the meekest man, the Bible says that was one of the meekest men that ever was, but yet he led the children of Israel and was a courageous man and a brave man, one that trained Joshua, the one that fought all the wars to gain all the land for Israel, remember. He said that when he stood before the Lord that he exceedingly trembled and quaked. He said that he was so scared that when he stood before God, the only words that he could find was tremble and quake. You know what, Joe? You know what trembling is? When you shake, like little children shake, like they're going to get a whooping or something like that, or they're scared and they shake, or run around and grab mama and daddy's leg and get behind it, or something like that. But you know what quaking is? Quaking is when your body is like it's in an earthquake. It's just jarring, like it's being hit with 220 volt. It's just jarring, and it can't stop. It's out of control. It's like a seizure, but not a trembling seizure, but a quaking seizure. It's like when your body just goes out of control because your mind can't take in what it's seeing, or what it's hearing, or what it's observing. And the Bible says that Moses said when he stood before God, he exceedingly trembled and quaked. The man that was standing behind one of the kings, if you remember, whenever he was standing there and he seen that hand of God, or hand, it didn't say it was God, but it said that wrote upon that wall that time, it said that it scared him so bad that some things happened to him too, you remember. So I want to thank you for honoring the Lord. You got good sense. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Anybody that says they got any kind of sense, or that they got any kind of thinking sense, or they got any mind to them at all, the very first thing the Bible says is evidence of it is that they fear God. And these idiots walking around in this world today that have no fear of God, and they mock him, and they think that one day that they're going to get away and they're going to stand before him one day. They can do all the mocking and the funny stuff that they want to do, but one day the Lord, all he's got to do is reach down and just take that breath right out of them, and that last breath they take, and down they go. And that soul comes out of that body, and it stands before the Lord, and we're going to see what kind of brave, courageous person, smart-aleck you are then, huh? A lot of them in the world today, they mock the Lord, and they mock God's people. And they can go ahead and do it. And if you got something bothering you, just ask God to take care of them. The Bible says that it's a righteous thing with the Lord to recompense them that trouble you. And there are some smart alecks in the world and people that hate God, and they think they got devils possessing them and telling them what to do, and they're minding the devils, and And that's the way it goes, and that's the way it is in this world today, especially in this Laodicean age and this stuff that's going on in the world today. Brothers and sisters, the world is changing right before your eyes, and it's doing it in God's timing. It's changing. It's the whole world is changing together. Everything is changing. I was reading a thing the other day about people having to wear these masks for this coronavirus. And do you know that that has become the ethical thing among human beings? I'm talking about grown-ups. That instead of fighting about something in court that maybe like somebody trying to take your children away or somebody trying to teach your child something that's ungodly or something that's worth fighting for, something ethical, something that has to do with truth or has to do with life and death. You know what they're fighting about in court now? There was a fella that just got through filing a lawsuit or filing something against the county. Because the county made a rule that you have to wear masks so you don't catch the disease. So he's suing the county because he has a right not to wear a mask. And that's what grown-ups are fighting about now. They're fighting about masks and they're fighting about toilet paper. Isn't that the most ignorant thing you've ever heard in your life? If that doesn't tell you that the world has gone nuts, then I don't know what else to tell you. But the whole world is changing, but the truth is not changing. And that's one thing that we have that we can hope for and that we have hope in, is that the truth don't change. The things that we learned about Jesus Christ on our last recording are still the same. The things that we learned about the truth having to do with life are still the same. And whenever we get, no matter when the Lord takes our breath and lets us leave our body and come and be with Him, glory to His name, whenever that's going to be, when He comes to get us, or either we die tonight or die tomorrow, we have hope with our life. All these idiots running around here that think they have, that they know what life is all about or could care less, they're going to care when they fall through that eternal door. When that trap door falls out from under their feet and they go into eternity, they're going to care then. Yeah, they're going to care then. But us, we have hope. We know what the Bible says. We know what God says about life, and that's what we're learning about. The last recording that we talked about had to do with life spiritual, and we began that study on life spiritual. I don't know if it was last recording or two recordings ago, but we talked about several topics having to do with life spiritual. Life spiritual. We talked about the source of life spiritual, if you remember, and we talked about things that life spiritual are described as. You remember that? We talked about some evidences of life spiritual. Now, spiritual life is different than natural life, and it's different than eternal life. They're all life, but they are defined in the Scriptures differently and have different meanings and different you hear that thunder? That's outside there. Evidences of life spiritual. We talked about that. And then we're going to begin today, and we're still under the topic of life spiritual. And we're going to begin today with the growing process of life spiritual. Now, we know life natural, and that's living in the body, is there's a growing process. You're not born a grown-up, and you're not born into maturity and knowing things. You're born as a babe, an infant, grow into an adolescent, into a teenager, and from there into a young man or a young woman, and then into maturity, and then as an elder. And there's a process. Well, there's a growing process having to do with life spiritual also, according to the Bible. And the Bible explains that and talks in that manner, in that fashion concerning life spiritual. Now, people that are unsaved and have not the Spirit of God, the Bible says in Romans, are none of His. They don't know anything about spiritual matters, and they don't care. what they think about spiritual matters is devilish. And they do things and deal things with the unclean spirits and devilish things. That's about as close as they get to spiritual things unless they see the light of Jesus go by them. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, a lot of times the Lord will show them the spiritual light by something that'll scare the pants off of them. And he'll get his respect and he'll get his, the Lord's going to get his respect. He's going to get, he can make men fear him if he wants to. What a silly thing to think that you can tell God how it's going to be. But the Lord will get his respect. And all we got to do as saved people is sit back and wait and watch it. Now, what we're talking about is the growing process of life spiritual. And in order to know anything about life spiritual, you have to be born into spirituality. When a man is born naturally, he's born and his spirit is dead. He has the spirit of man, but he does not have anything spiritual about him having to do with God. He doesn't understand the things of God, neither can he, the Bible says, because he is spiritually dead. And he has to be born of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh, naturally, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So a man has to be born spiritually in order to know anything, or to grow, or to mature, or to take in spiritual food of understanding spiritual things. To have anything to do with spiritual life, he has to be born first. That's why Jesus said, behold, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus told him and said, what, does a man enter back into his mother's womb and be born when he's old? Well, he was talking about a fleshly, a natural being born. Remember when we talked about, when we was talking about natural, life natural? Well, yeah, that's what he was talking about. And the Lord told him, he said, you're an elder in Israel and you're a wise man and you don't know these things? Well, see, we do know them. Because we have a spiritual book. The Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. You know, if the Lord's word was not spiritual, we're wasting our time right now. You can read any book. There's a library in Alexandria, Egypt. I think that's where it is. Or the Library of Congress or somewhere like that. Hundreds of thousands of books. You can go read all you want to read. But it's vanity. It doesn't tell you anything. I mean, you can get all the knowledge, and knowledge is not necessarily truth. Just because you know a lot of things, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us not to learn too much. He said, why should you destroy yourself? There are some things that a person should not learn that will kill you and that will destroy you. And that's what you got in your colleges and all your science and education nowadays. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with science. But God is the manufacturer. God is the maker of all that stuff. And if he's not honored first among everything, then it's vanity to try to pursue it. But having to do with growing, you have to be born first. You can't grow naturally and you can't grow in life. What we're talking about is life. You can't grow in life naturally unless you're born. And you can't grow in life spiritually until you're born again. The Bible says that. Let's read a little bit of what God's Word says. John chapter 3 and verse 3 through 8. And you probably knew I was already going to go there. But it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now remember, we already talked about and we learned that the kingdom of God is within you. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Okay? It's not something that you can touch. It is a spiritual kingdom. And the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Lord's just telling him, he said, you have to be born again. He said, and Nicodemus was not understanding this. He have to be. Why did he have to be born again? Because he had already been born once. And Nicodemus understood the things of natural life because he had been born naturally. But the Lord was telling him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, the spiritual things, the spiritual life. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, there's your natural birth, your natural life, life natural, and of the Spirit, talking about God the Holy Ghost, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot have life spiritual and be involved in life spiritual unless you have a spiritual birth. Unless you have a spiritual birth. The Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You don't necessarily know where it comes from. I mean, a child that's born naturally doesn't turn around and say, okay, there's where I came from and here's where I'm going. A child that's born naturally doesn't have any idea what's going on about being born. He's just being born naturally. Life natural. Well, the same thing as being born spiritual. You don't understand. You don't know anything about spirituality. You don't know what spiritual life is. All you know is that you've been born. That's it. And that's the truth. You could probably testify to that about you being born again, because I can. I didn't have any idea what was going on when the Lord saved me. All I knew was something changed. And I had new life. A different life than my natural life. I was 20-something years old when I got saved. I'd done lived 20 years of life natural. I didn't know anything about life spiritual, but I knew I had been born, that I was awake now, I was quickened, I was made alive, born again. But the Lord said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, so life spiritual, we're talking about the growing process of life spiritual. Well, the very first thing is that you have to be born. Life spiritual begins at spiritual birth. Jesus said so. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot be or have life spiritual unless you have been born into life spiritual. Secondly, you feed on spiritual milk during infancy. Well, life natural, you don't stick a steak or a pork chop or a chicken leg into an infant's mouth because they can't handle that. That's not what natural life takes in at its infancy. Nor do you feed people that have been born spiritually and been born into life spiritual. Nor do you feed them meat, spiritual meat. You feed them spiritual milk. And the Bible says that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You see, in life spiritual, when you're born again, one of the clear desires of God's Word and commandments of God's Word is that you grow. You see, when a man and a woman have a child naturally, and that baby is born, and they do all that they need to do to the child to make sure that it's okay and everything's right, and then the mother and father have their baby and they take it home, what's the most important thing that mother and father think about that child? Is feeding it, making sure that that child has food, has milk. Why? So it can grow. The very first thing that any life natural, you take animals. The very first thing when an animal is born, what's the first thing that mama does after she cleans it up? She feeds it. She feeds it. And what's the first, the most important thing is to for that infant having to do with the mother and father? What do they want for that infant? They want it to grow. Well, that's the same thing the Bible talks about when it having to do with life spiritual. First, you're born. You have a spiritual birth. And then after the spiritual birth, the Bible says that you need to be fed spiritual milk. Spiritual milk. And that's what it says. We just read it. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now remember, we're talking about the ABCs of Christian growth. We do study doctrine, and we do study doctrinal things of what the Bible has to say. For instance, in salvation and what happens in salvation, the doctrine of salvation, and we study other doctrine, and we're going to study doctrine. But as far as just knowing and growing, anybody can join us and learn what God's Word says, because we feed a lot of spiritual milk in these lessons. And this lesson right here that we're learning right now about life spiritual, about life natural, and about life eternal, and the other things that we're going to go into after this, are ABCs. They begin at spiritual birth, and that's what we're doing this for, is so that somebody that doesn't know the Bible, the things that they need to know as a Christian that they're not being taught, they can get into this study and they can find them out, and should find them out, because the Bible commands us to grow as newborn babes. What's next? Well, the Bible says after we're born and then we begin to be fed with spiritual milk. Now, what is spiritual milk? Well, the Bible says desire the sincere milk of the Word. Of the Word. Now, you're going to find out as you grow and as you mature and find things out that are important having to do with being born again and being a Christian, you're going to find out that the centerpiece, the centrality of the Scriptures is Jesus Christ. Everything centers on Jesus Christ. You can find that out in Ephesians. But the physical, literal thing that the Lord has given us here on this earth that is very important to the Christian life is the Word of God. We are centered on the Word of God. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. You see, the Word is there when you're born again, at birth, spiritual birth, life spiritual. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, Jesus Christ was here physically, and when he left and went back and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he left us his written word. And we have it right here with us today to study and know the will of God and to grow and to be born again and have the growing process. Life spiritual begins at spiritual birth. Then we feed on spiritual milk during infancy. And then that's not all. We must not remain in infancy during spiritual growth. And that's another reason for this kind of study that we're doing right now is the ABCs of Christian growth, is because the Lord does not want you to remain an infant having to do with spiritual things. He wants you to grow and to learn more about spirituality, because you are a spiritual being now. And the Bible says this in Hebrews. Listen to what it says. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. Now he's talking about spiritual food, spiritual growth. He says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, the desire of the Lord is that whenever we are born spiritually and we begin to learn the infancy things of life spiritual, is for us to grow and continue growing and not to remain in infancy. And that's what you're doing right now by listening and studying the Word of God along with the rest of us. So the Bible in Hebrews tells us that it's God's will that you not remain in infancy, that you continue to grow. You see, that's one thing in natural life, in life natural, that people expect. Well, at least they did whenever we were children. You got grown-ups running around and children, or you got people running around and you don't know what they are anymore. Just like we was talking about a while ago about people going to court and fighting over masks and fighting over toilet paper. And you got grown-ups making dope and cooking dope and thinking that's the most important thing in the world. You got all kinds of things and foolishness going on in the world that show adolescence, show that you have not grown at all. You're not a grown-up. You're still a child. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think it's 15, that when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible says that we are to grow. And we're talking about life spiritual. And that's not all. Not only do we have spiritual birth, as far as being born again, we begin to feed on spiritual milk at infancy. We can't take in the meat yet. But then we begin to grow. And we begin to learn things about the Scriptures and learn things about the Lord and learn things about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn things about God, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity, three in one. And the one in the middle died for me, Jesus Christ. We learn about being in the body. We learn that we are a Trinity like God, that we are spirit, soul, and body. We learn that the natural life, that the body is going to die and go back to the dust as God has said it's going to. And you see that as evidence every day. There's a grave stone. There's a lady that sells gravestones right down to the end of my driveway down there. And there's people dying. There's more people dying every day because of this coronavirus. And this thing is killing people right and left. And not only that, but people die every day. I don't know what the statistic is, but if you read it, if you just look on the statistics and stuff and see how many people in the world die every day, it'll really surprise you how many people actually die and leave their body every day. And we don't think about that until it becomes our time. And they say life goes on. Well, it does. You see, somebody that, somebody died today. Do you know who they were? I don't. I know some people that have died, and it becomes very important to you the closer death gets to you. Maybe you got a friend or a mother or a father or a relative or somebody that has died, and death has gotten very close to you. Well, everybody else in the world that had no idea that that person died, life goes on. They went to work. People just live. And death happens. But life's spiritual. We learn we're born again. We feed on spiritual milk. We do not remain in infancy, but we grow spiritually. And then that's not all. We continue to grow in grace, and we remember, and we do not allow ourselves to be deceived. Now, that's where a lot of people are tripped by the enemy and by the devil and by the world. We have enemies when it comes to life spiritual. We have enemies spiritually. The Bible says that principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says that our warfare is not fleshly. It's not having to do with flesh and blood. It's having to do with spiritual wickedness and spiritual warfare. Now, you have an enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that wants to destroy you and keep you from growing spiritually and keep you from spiritual matters altogether. But we are to continue to grow in grace, the Bible says, but not only to grow, but we are to remember what we have learned. We're to remember what we have learned and not be deceived again. Everybody eventually is going to be deceived somehow or another, and you probably can testify that you have been deceived before, and I have also. And if you haven't, then you're very fortunate. Because the enemy's very good. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, and that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Your own heart will deceive you. It tries to walk you off in the ditch every time it tries to talk to you. And you have to keep range. It's kind of like having a great big dog on a leash that always wants to run to the left and run to the right, and you got to keep a tight rope on him so he don't get away, and you got to pull him here and pull him there, and he's always wanting to run and go this way and go that way. That's kind of like your heart is. Your heart's always, it sees this over here, it runs over here, maybe wants to be in love, or runs over here, maybe it wants to lust, or runs over here and your heart wants money, or you run over here, your heart it just runs every which way. But as you grow spiritually and you grow with life spiritual, you start learning your heart, and you start learning what your heart is privy to, what your heart will, let's see, how would you put it, what your heart will kind of magnetize, I don't know if that's a word, draw to. Everybody's different, and your heart lusts after different things. But your heart is deceitful, and it'll deceive you if you're not careful. And you have to remember the things that you have already learned. You know, one of the things that is probably one of the most saddest things that every grown-up eventually has to say is, if I'd only remembered the things that I learned. Do you remember saying any of that yet? I have. If I could only go back. If I could only go back. If I only learned this whenever I was, if I'd only known. I mean, there's always regret when it comes to not remembering and not being deceived. One of the very important things to learn as you're growing and you've gone past infancy, you've grown out of infancy, and now you're growing in grace and you're learning a little more mature, like in high school or something like that spiritually, or maybe even college now, and you're up there and you're learning. One of the main things to remember is to remember what you have learned spiritually, because it is still truth. You see, one mistake that Christians make is that when they learn a truth and they got it nailed down, okay, this is truth, this is what I believe, this is what God says, and I ain't veering off of that, no way. And then on the same subject, as you're growing, you learn another truth about the same subject. Well, instead of stacking that truth on top of the truth that you already have learned in the past, they dismiss the truth from the past and replace it with the truth that they've learned now. That's not right. That's not what you do. You remember and you keep all the truth that you have learned. The truth that you learned as a babe, the truth that you have learned as an adolescent, the truth that you've learned as a toddler, the truth that you learn when you're a teenager, the truth that you learn whenever you become a young adult, and on into your maturity. The things that you learn, you do not replace one truth with another. You stack truth upon truth. I learned things as an adolescent. I learned, one of the first things I learned whenever I was a small child was not to steal, was not to lie, was to say, was to use my my respect to my mother and father. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Something that this generation don't know anything about nowadays. But that, you don't put away whenever you grow into, when you become a young adult, you don't stop saying yes, sir, and no, sir. That's still a truth that you learned whenever you was young. You don't put that away just because you have learned new truth, and some people call you yes, sir, and no, sir now. You still keep the truths that you learned from your early spiritual growth, and you stack the truths that you learn from there on top of one another, and you keep all the truth. But one thing that we have to learn is not to be deceived. We don't want to ever be deceived again. When you learn truth, one of the reasons for learning truth is so that you will not be deceived. Because if you do not believe and accept the truth, you have to accept a lie. This world is full of lies and full of deceit, and it's everywhere. It's on the television, it's in people's mouths, it's on the billboards, it's everywhere. Deceit is all, the Bible says, thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Deceit is everywhere. And if you don't know the truth, and you don't study the truth, and you don't accept the truth, then you must believe a lie. Did you get that? If you do not accept the truth, and you do not keep the truth, and keep yourself from being deceived, and hold on to the truth, you will accept a lie. That's how the Antichrist is going to take over the world. Don't you know that? The Bible says the devil, in the end, just before the Lord puts him away for good, it says, him that deceived the entire world. That's doing some deceiving, man. Deceive the entire world. But we got to remember not to be deceived. You grow in grace and remember not to be deceived. We do not remain in infancy. We grow spiritually. And then we grow in grace and remember and don't be deceived. Listen to what 2 Peter Chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You see, the purpose of learning life spiritual and growing life spiritual is so you'll be steadfast. You'll hold your ethics, you'll hold your moral, you'll hold your integrity, you'll hold the dignity that you have learned, your self-respect that you've learned, the respect for others. You'll learn these things, and you'll hang on to them. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Notice it's the wicked that try to lead you away from truth. Wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. See, the Bible commands us to keep our steadfastness, to remember the things that we have learned, and to not replace truth for truth as we grow, but to stack truth, and to remember the things that we have learned, and to use them, and to be strong with them, and not to be led away by the error of the wicked, and to be deceived by wicked people and wicked things. There's people nowadays that'll walk along and knowing that you're a Christian, and they'll mock you and they'll laugh at you and they'll try to make fun of you. But in reality, they're making fun of God and they're mocking the Lord in their heart, and they're going to pay for it. David said that he wanted God to destroy his enemies. But then he took another thought about it and he said, but then I remember their end. Do you know where the wicked are going to end up? That's not all. Talking about life spiritual. Talking about the growing process of life spiritual. Life spiritual begins at spiritual birth. We feed on spiritual milk in infancy. We must not remain in infancy during spiritual growth. That's another step. And then also, we continue to grow in grace and we remember and don't be deceived. That's getting on up there and knowing some things about life spiritual. And that's not all. We arrive at adulthood in spiritual growth. The idea is that you grow to the point. You see, that's one thing that's a problem with the world now in natural life, in life natural, is that you got a bunch of grown-up sissies and babies and adolescents running around that don't know how to teach the younger generation. They say that what they're teaching today is your younger generation. That's how come you got 12-year-olds committing suicide. I think the youngest suicide in the United States is a 5-year-old girl that hung herself off of her bunk beds in her bedroom with a belt. Her name was Samantha. She committed suicide. 5 years old. What does a 5-year-old know enough about life that she looks around her and she sees that she cannot absorb enough life around her by looking around her that makes her want to stay alive? So instead, she kills herself. 5 years old. You tell me what a grown-up generation is teaching Samantha. If a 5-year-old will commit suicide, there's something wrong with the grown-ups. We are commanded in the Scriptures to grow in grace, talking about life spiritual. The Bible says for us to arrive at adulthood. You are to grow up. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Notice the difference in the growing process. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Notice he speaks about fathers, and he speaks about young men, and he speaks about children. And all three of them have different responsibilities and different learning processes in life spiritual, but he magnifies all of them. We are to arrive at adulthood in spiritual growth. The Bible tells us to grow, and it tells us to become adults and mature to where we know the things of life spiritual and know about spiritual matters so that we can teach our children spiritual matters. Because the only way that they're going to live after they leave that body is that they have dealt and they have learned and they have obeyed the Word of God when it comes to spiritual matters. Because you cannot be saved in life natural. Life natural is going back to the grave. Your body is going to be buried with a shovel, and it's going to go back, and the worms are going to eat it, and it's going to decompose, and it's going to go back to the dirt, just like God said. The things that people really need to learn is being born again spiritually and know about the spiritual things of life. And parents are not teaching anything about that nowadays. The grown-ups are running around just as nutty as a stinking fruitcake. They have absolutely no adulthood about them, no spiritual growth about them. They're burning down cities because of racism and because of this and because of that. What do you think the children are thinking about all this? Well, let's see. What do we learn about this? What do we learn about somebody suing the county because he is mad because he has to wear a mask, and he has to wear a mask because he would rather have his rights and make somebody sick so they can die with coronavirus rather than give up his right and sacrifice for a little bit. What's the Bible teach? They don't know. They haven't been taught. Why ain't they been taught? Because adults have grown up and they're still children. They're not matured. They're running around nuts. They're nutcases. Most adults have to hide their behavior because there's no dignity and no integrity in it. The Bible says we are to arrive at adulthood when it comes to life spiritual. The only way that children are going to know that they have to be born again and that they have a wicked nature and they are evil when it comes to natural, being born in the Adamic nature, that they're going to die and they're going to go to hell, that the Bible has declared that, and the wrath of God abides upon them because they're sinners. The only way that they're going to know anything about that and believe the truth is that they are approached with life spiritual things. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The only way that a person can go to heaven is through spirituality, through spiritual things. And I'm not talking about sorcery and dope making and running around with your stinking head in the clouds. I'm talking about real spiritual things. You arrive at adulthood. And that's not all. One final thing. We're talking about the growing process of life spiritual, according to what the Bible says. The Bible says you begin your spiritual life at spiritual birth. That's called being born again in the Bible. Jesus said that he came so that people could be born again, born of the Spirit. And once you're born of the Spirit, the Bible says that you feed on spiritual milk. You learn the ABCs of what spiritual things are about yourself, and you be in part spirit, and you are. Man is a trinity. He's spirit, soul, and body. And you have to learn about it. When you grow naturally, you learn about your body, you learn what pain is, you learn your senses, you learn how to smell, you learn how to hear, you learn how to see. Well, as you grow spiritually, you have to learn these things also about spiritual things. How to see spiritually, how to hear spiritually. You have to learn these things. You feed on spiritual milk, and you grow out of infancy, the Bible says, and it commands us to in the book of Hebrews, to grow out of infancy. The Bible says that we are to grow in grace. We're to get on up past teenager and up past adolescence. We're to learn and get on into the college things and the things of and more doctrinal things and learn the deeper things of the Lord. And I ain't talking about some kind of foolish walking around thinking that you're smarter than God. I'm talking about as you grow and you know all the fundamentals of the Word of God, then you stack truth upon truth and you get smarter about the Word of God. You know what the Bible says how a man is considered mature in the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says? How you can tell if a man is mature in the Bible? The Bible says that the way that you tell if a man is mature or not is how much he knows the difference between good and evil. If a man knows the difference between good and evil and he's exercising it in his life, the Bible says he is getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Isn't that pretty simple? That's what the Bible says. You know the difference between good and evil. That's what the Bible says about a man that has matured. If you call yourself smart in spiritual matters, you can tell the difference between good and evil. And you do something about it. And finally, the Bible says we arrive at maturity. We arrive at maturity. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." You don't give strong meat and stick a great big old steak in a child's mouth. He has to learn how to eat that. His body has to learn. His spiritual growth, his spiritual being, if you will, has to learn how to consume strong spiritual meat. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. In other words, you've gone through the milk, you've grown in grace, you've remembered not to be deceived, you've remembered the truth and stacked truth upon truth, you've grown into adulthood, you've become a spiritual being, a spiritual person, you've matured, and now you're growing into maturity and you're able to consume strong meat, strong spiritual things. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did you hear what the Bible said? The Bible said that if you are a grown-up in spiritual matters, that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. In other words, you are a grown up. You are a what's the Bible call them? Elder. You're an elder now. You have grown into a spiritual. In your life, spiritual, you have grown into an elder. Because now you can take in strong meat. Well, how do we know that you are of full age? What does the Bible say that gives testimony and gives witness that you are of full age spiritually? It says because that you, by reason of using your senses, your spiritual senses, that you can tell the difference. Listen to what the Bible says. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, in other words, you're using something, reason of use have their senses, they're using their senses, they're using their spiritual senses that they have learned since they've been born again. Use of their senses exercised, put into exercise, put into use, are using this knowledge, are using this spiritual knowledge in their life, exercise to discern, to tell the difference, discern, split it up. What's the difference? Discern both good and evil. The Bible says The way you tell a man has grown in the Word of God and grown spiritually is that the way he behaves himself and by all the things that he's learned through his process of growing spiritually, he has put into use and it has profited him in the way that he can tell the difference between good and evil. Do you know you got grown-ups that are running around in the world now that can't tell you the difference between good and evil? Do you know if you ask a grown-up nowadays whether it's right or wrong to lie, that he'll hesitate to answer? Do you know if you ask a person whether it's right or wrong for a grown-up to make dope and sell it to other people that hurts them and ruins their lives, that they don't know how to answer, that they get mad at you about it? That's the kind of generation you got going on now. That's not spiritual maturity. They can't tell the difference between good and evil and don't care. The Bible says that's not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is that you have learned the things that you've learned and you've kept them and you've not been deceived and you've put them to use, and because you've put them to use, you're able to tell the difference between good and evil without a problem. That's good. That's bad. And now you're able to teach it clearly and understandably to the ones that are beneath you and coming up in the younger generations. We're talking about life spiritual. We're talking about life spiritual as far as the growing process of life spiritual and what the Bible says. We talked about beginning life spiritual. You have to be born again. You have to feed on spiritual milk. And that's what we're doing right now, is we're learning the ABCs of Christian growth. Today, we talked about a process of life spiritual. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty understandable and right from the words of God. We can believe it because God said so. And that's why we believe it, is because God said so. We must not remain at infancy. The idea is not to sit still, it's to keep on growing spiritually. And you've got enemies that are going to try to keep you from doing that. The world is going to resist your growth spiritually. The devil is going to try to keep you from growing life spiritual. And your flesh is going to do everything it can to keep you from that Bible. You probably had to fight to sit down somehow or another. You had to talk yourself into sitting down to study today, didn't you? But that's okay. You did it. And you told your flesh, shut up. You got to step on that flesh's neck and tell it, you don't get your way. You don't get to talk today. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible, the Lord didn't say that your flesh wasn't going to lust for things. It said you won't fulfill them if you walk in the Spirit. Amen. And then we continue to grow in grace and we remember and not be deceived. You stack that truth upon truth, the spiritual things that you have learned, the life spiritual that you learn. You stack it upon truth and you don't forget it. And you arrive at adulthood, and now you're able to teach others spiritual things. And then you arrive at maturity. And you, by now, when you arrive at maturity, you ought to be respected, you ought to have dignity, you ought to have your integrity, spiritual integrity. You ought to have the identity of Jesus Christ, because the more you grow, the more you find out that you have no identity without Jesus Christ. That's what's wrong with the people in the world today. They're running from place to place and all over the place trying to figure out who they are. And you can't find out who you are without Jesus Christ. Our identity is in Him. Everybody's. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. All right, well, we're going to stop there. Let me give you these scriptures. You ready? The first one we talked about today is John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. And one other. We didn't have a lot of scripture today, but good scripture. All of it's good. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. And next program, we're going to continue on life spiritual. We see the growing process of life spiritual. We're going to talk about some characteristics of life spiritual. How can you tell something? What's the character of life spiritual? What are some things that we can tell about life spiritual, the character of it? We're going to talk about that. And then perhaps we'll also talk about some enemies of life spiritual. We mentioned those today, but we'll get more in depth with them with the scriptures when we get to that part. And perhaps we'll talk about that on our next program, okay? It's been very good talking to you today and learning with you. And let's grow up spiritually. The world's going to hell, and it needs all of the mature spiritual, life spiritual that we can bring to it. No matter what anybody else does, let's do right, okay? And let's be pleasing to our Lord. God bless you. You have a wonderful evening, and this is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.